Okay, this is, as I plan it, the second to last shir in my Sefer Tehillim Shmuel Devarim series. After 12 years, I'm not sure where to go after that. Let's talk about it. But this is the last of the Tehillim of B'nai Korach. And if one, it really does reflect what we've understood about B'nai Korach. They're to see themselves in the sense of Korach. They're all about speaking truth to power, telling the rich and powerful they're not so important, that Kol Am Kedoshim, that everyone has a place in the world. So this one is directed at the whole world. Psalm starts with a call to the whole world. Lam Netzach from the Korach is more. So moves the Kol Amim. Listen to this, all you nations. Hazinu kol yoshvei chaled. Pay attention, all those who inhabit chaled, which is a term for the world, but it's an interesting term, because chaled comes from a word for rust. The Rashi explains it. Chaled ha'aretz, this is the world. Al shem shehi noshenet b'chol chaluda, because it ages and decays, everything rusts away. It translates into French is rodelé. I mean, in modern French, but that's the idea of Chaled. It's the world that rusts, it falls apart. Everything decays, everything dies. And David himself used that term in a parak that we've looked at in Tehillim Perek, where he said, where David is asking Hashem, Hodine Hashem Kitzi. God, please let me know my end. Midat Yamai, Mahi. Let me know the number of my days. How long am I going to live? And let me know when I will be finished. In a Tefachot, my days are measured with in Tefachim, in handbreadths, v'chaldi, that same expression. My end, the point where I will decay. It's like nothing before you. So true with all human beings. It's all hevel. It's all vanity of breath that goes away. That's what chelet. It's the idea of everything decays. Everyone dies, and that's the message of this perek. So this is the perek that we say in a house of Shiva, after davening. Shachar Marav, we say this, Hazinu kol yoshvei chaled. The message is more specific than everybody dies. It's that everyone dies, and money can't save you. And that's what the perek will be all about. The next pasuk in the parak is, after it says everyone needs to listen, gam b'nei adam, gam b'nei ish, both b'nei adam and b'nei anashim need to listen. But to see what that means, yachad ashir v'evyon, both rich and poor alike, which gives a hint as to what that means. A ben adam is an ordinary human being. A ben ish is somebody important. And if you look at Yechezkel is always called Ben Adam. He's addressed as Ben Adam after he gets his grand vision of the Maaseh Merkabah. As David says, Ben Adam is Kuro Ben Adam. Hashem calls him a Ben Adam, a human being. So he won't feel so proud of himself. And think of himself as the level of the angels. Just because he saw that great vision, he's still a Ben Adam, an ordinary human being, as opposed to the Ben Ish, which Rashi says in the context of the Meraglim, when they're called Anashim, they're all Anashim, called Anashim Shemikra, this idea of Ish or Anashim, is Lashon Chashivut, important. So when it says, Gam B'nei Adam, Gam B'nei Ish, have to listen to this as both ordinary people and important people. That's the way Ibn Ezra says that Gam, both of them, Kachai Krab B'nei Adam, She'en La Mala, that ordinary people have no great, great advantages. Oh yeshlehem, or if they have some kind of ma'ala, some kind of importance, no, to him they're well known, and that's b'nei ish. So it's chiasm between b'nei adam and evyon, ordinary people and the poor, and then b'nei ish, important people, and the asher and the rich. And everyone needs to listen to this message. Together, those expressions are a form of merism. That's our word of the day. A merism is a referring to something by splitting it apart. Ladies and gentlemen, day and night, do we apply everything, emphasizing that here, even the rich and important need to listen. And that's what Shimon Zerachol means, and which goes back again to Korach's original message about equity, that Kol Haidah Kulam Kedoshim. Everyone's important. So Bei Korach here are making the point that Korach, their ancestor, wasn't wrong about that. The fact that he used that message to aggrandize himself still is still a message that needs to be heard. So this is what the Perek says. Everyone needs to listen, but because pi yedaber chochmot, my mouth will speak wisdom, the goat libi to note, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. Etelem mashal hazni, I will listen to my own message, my own mashal. Eftach b'chikinor kidati, and I will start my chida, my riddle, with my kinor, with my lyre, my lute. So this is all Tehillim. It's all kind of, it's meant to be musical. The next part is the meat of the Perek itself. This is what the Mashal, the Chokhmah, is talking about. It starts with a question. Lama ira mimera. What should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid of in the days of evil? Avon akayvai yisavuni, when literally the sins of my heels surround me, which is a hard phrase to understand. So Art Scroll translates that as Avona Kepa is the sin I trod upon, the sins I step on surround me. I want to look at that. But first, what's this Lama Irabi Me Ra? What will I fear in the days of evil? And what are the Me? What are the days of evil? And that's the expression that Kohelet, Shlomo's son, is going to use to describe old age. The last parak of Kohelet, the point where when ringing in shul, everybody's falling asleep then, was a famous metaphor about old age. Zechor borecha bimei bachurutecha, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Ad asher lo yavo yimei hara, there's your yimei ra, before the bad days come. Yigiyu shanim, and the years arrive, asher tomar ein li bahem chefetz, the years that you're going to say, I don't like this, I don't want this at all. What are those yimei ra? Ashel tachshash hashemesh, before the sun darkens, or and the light be'erech the moon and the stars darken, v'sho'o avim achar hageshem, and the clouds return. Yom shezidu sheyazi'u shomrei habayit, that the literally the guardians of the house start shaking, v'ta'avu anshei hachayil, and the soldiers are warped. It's a metaphor for losing strength, muscles becoming weaker. The tremors, za'u shomrei bayit, in the muscles. Batlu ha'techonot, the mills, the grinders are silenced, ki ma'atu, because there are few. Metaphor for losing teeth. Chashku ha'ra'ot barubot, and the watchmen in the attics are darkened. Metaphor for losing sight as you get old. Gami govah yareyu, one is fear afraid of heights. Ba'derech. And there's terror along the way. Even as the almond tree blossoms again, because and as the grasshopper, the locust will bear its burden, and the evyonah, some kind of tree, will bear fruit again. Plants will come back, but kialach adal be'el olamo, human beings go to their eternal home. And then the mourners go through the streets. That's Yimei Ra. That we are everything, we all weaken. We lose vision, lose control of our bodies, and then die. And the dirt returns to land where it came from. The spirit goes back to Hashem, who gave it to us. That's Yimei Ra. And he asked, Lama'i Rabbi Mera, why should I be afraid then? But the way it's spelt is Lama with a stress on that first Lama. It's not Lama, it's not Lama, it's Lama rather. It's not Lama or what? And Rav Hirsch makes this distinction between Lama with the Dagesh in the Mem, the stress in the first syllable, and Lama with no Dagesh and the stress in the second syllable. And the former, the lama, which is the form of a parak, doesn't mean the immediate purpose, immediate reason, but the ultimate goal. So the question is not why am I afraid, but what's the point of my fear? What will happen with that fear? What can I do with that? So he asks, what's the point of my fear when I have when I see the avon akavayasavuni, the sin that I trod upon surrounds me? What does that mean? And that's a re reference to the way Rashi explains the word akev. Literally, heels also means consequences, like something that follows on the heels of. But Rashi says about that when in Parshat Akev, that it will be as a consequence of you keeping these laws, and that these are the mitzvot kalot, these are minor mitzvot, shadam dash b'kvotav, that you tend to step on. So the sins you step on are the ones that you don't care about. That's what he has to be afraid of. So that's the way Art Scroll would interpret Lama Ira B'Meira. That's his chida, his riddle. What am I going to be afraid of? It's not a rhetorical question, it's a real one. What should I fear? And the answer is missing out on these minor mitzvot. That's Art Scroll. But I don't like it because it's inconsistent with the rest of the parak. Rest of the parak is all about the futility of relying on your wealth. So I like the way the JPS translation puts it, and Akev there means those who would follow, those who come after me. It says, Avon Akevai Sevavuni, they translate as the encompassing evil of those who would supplant me. Again, Akevai is those who follow my heels. The Bracha of God says that when Yaakov gives his sons the Bracha for God is God Gadud Yudena, God will have a camp camping against him. Akev, that word Akev, at their heels. He will camp at their heels. He will fight his enemies. But seeing that as being concerned about enemies doesn't fit the rest of the parak. There's nothing there about being afraid. And the rest of the parak talks about Kasilu va'al yovedu, that the fools are lost, yazvula acherim chelam, and they will leave their wealth to others. Wealth can't help us. We all die. We have control of what happens afterwards. So what I would translate this, Avon Akevayas Avuni, Akevay, those who would follow me, not those who would supplant me, those who would take my place, but it's this, I'm concerned about the sin of those who will come after me, who are Sivavuni, who are surrounding me now. I'm talking about my heirs, right? Psalms is saying, I'm afraid when I look at my heirs, what's gonna happen? What will happen to my children? Are they gonna get this lesson? So he's going to talk to them. Let me start. Here's the problem. And here in Pasuk Zion, Bodchim, those who rely on their wealth, uverov oshrom yitalalu, and boast about their riches. Achlo pado ish. Literally, a brother cannot redeem a person. Lo yitain Elokim kaparo. He can't give his ransom to God. And this ach lo pado yifte ish, and again, our scroll traces ach as brother, but again, that doesn't fit. So JPS has says that ach is related to the word ha'ach, which we see in Tehillim, meaning aha, pointing something out. We have that in Tehillim Ayin, where David says that those who seek my destruction. He asked, Yeshuvu al ekev boshtam. Maybe they turn back in their humiliation. Ha'omrim he'ach he'ach. Those who say, aha, as JPS puts it. And this is talking about David, right? Those who point at David and say, look, you're not so great. You sinned with Bathsheba, all the sins you've done. That's what aha means. So, too, here, when it says, ach lo hodei yifte ish, it's aha. Human beings cannot redeem themselves. I don't care how much money you have, you can't buy salvation. You can't give your ransom to God and say, don't take me. Right? There's no that those who are botchim bechelam, they have bitachon, they have faith in in their wealth, they're wrong. Ah, it's true. You can't buy salvation. So the Pasuk continues, yakar pidyon nafsha, that Redeeming the price of pidyon, redeeming oneself of one's soul is too expensive. Price is too high. In the sense of yakar, that we say that in Tehillim, we say yakar b'nei Hashem ha'mavtala chasidav, in Hallel rather, that the price of the death of the chasidim is too high in God's eyes. So we say that yakar pidyon nafsham. The price is too high. No one can afford to save themselves. There's no amount of money that will save them. So they will end forever. And this is kind of a pun because we said before, Cheled is the world that decays, and Chadal is to end. Human beings end up both life decaying and ending. That's what Ibn Ezra puts it in this idea. This idea of Chadal meaning to end. That we see a lot in Hebrew that the letters can switch around, those first two letters. Kesev and keves both mean a lamb, and then chadal and chelet both have the same implications of death and ending. That the world will end for every human being. So your wealth can't save you. So the parak continues, Yechi od lenetzach, rhetorically. Can he live forever, lo yir hashachat, and not see the final destruction? Ki yireh chachamim, because everyone sees chachamim yamutu, the wise die, yachad kasil ba'ar yovedu, and the fool, the brute, are all lost, bazul acharim chaylam, and they leave their wealth to others. All your money's not going to change that. At first glance, it looks like he's putting those together. Chachamim yamutu, the wise died. Kasilu bar yovedu, fool will be lost. It seems to be this very similar. And that's the same thing that we see in Kohelet. Kohelet is also about how, well, everyone dies, what's the point of doing anything? Kohelet, it's explicitly the same. Hakolash kasher lakol, everyone ends up the same thing. Mikre achad, one ending, one final. And latzadik, larasha, for the righteous, for the wicked, latov, good, latahar, for the pure, latameh, and the impure, lazoveach, for those who offer sacrifices, vasher and ozoveach, and for those who don't offer sacrifices, katov, kachoteh, the good, the sinner, they're all the same. Shba, kasher, shavuot, yareh, whether you take oaths, whether you take shavuot, whether you are afraid of shavuot, no matter what, everything is the same. But that's not really what B'nai Korach are saying here. So use a different word. Chachamim is yamutu, and Kesil Va'er, the fools, are lost. Malba points out there's a difference. Chachamim lo yovedu, because the wise are not lost, not lost forever. Kinafcham techayeh. There's a hint here about Olam Haba. Their soul still exists, even after death. Nafcham techayeh al'ad. That their souls will live forever. Rak yamutu kishu mitata guf. The body dies. Vakasilu bear. But the fool, the brute, hem yovedu, they are lost. They are gone forever. Kilo yishar shehit nafsham. There is nothing left to their life. So the way of going of overcoming death, but it's not through money, through chokhmah. So the rich think they will live forever. The parak continues. Kibam, their innermost thoughts. Their home, houses will last forever. They will dwell on every generation. Their name will be called throughout the land. That's wrong. There's simultaneously this meaning that they'll be the grave forever. Same changing the kirbam here into kivram. From their inner thoughts to the kever. That their grave will be their homes forever and their dwelling place for all generations. And then the refrain of the parak, the kind of the climax of the parak is parak is pasuk yud gimel, v'adam bakar v'yakar bal yalin, and human beings will not rest with their wealth. Something will have your eternal rest. Whatever happens, it's not going to be with money. They are like the animals They're silent. They're like dumb animals. You don't take the value, your valuables to the grave, and death were just like any other animal. And this again, this is the same thing that Kohelet says. Ki mikre b'nei adam, mikre achad lahem. That what happens to human beings, happens to animals, is the same. Kamot zeh, kamot zeh, the death of one is like the other. Ruach achad lakol. They have the same end of their spirit. Matar ha'adam min ha'beimah ayin, and there's no advantage of human beings over animals. Kekol hevel. It's all pointless. That's Kohelet. At least the until we get to the end of Kohelet. But B'nai Korach aren't nihilist. That nihilist. They don't really say that's nothing, because there's another way to go. As they continue, Zeh darcham kasil lamo, this way of thinking, that we're going to count on our money to buy us out of death, that's foolish. B'fihem, and their end, and what comes after them, they express with their mouths. We'll see what that means. Selah, hold that thought. End of part one. This acharim b'fihem yiratzu, Malv explained, they will give a will, final constructions when they're at their deathbed. They will say what they want. Who will get control of their estate after them? And yes, there's nothing more foolish than that. So you have no control after that. You have no idea what's going to happen after this. Again, Kohelet always complains about that. They say, no, we're going to do something different. And so the second half of the parak, the psalmist turns to his audience. Right? These are my heirs, the ones who are coming after me. This is an ethical will. I can't control what happens to my money, but I can tell you what you should think. And he describes himself in contrast to the fools. And it says about them, katzon lish'ol, shatu mavet yireim. Like sheep, death shepherds them toward Sheol, toward the grave. V'yardu bam yesharim labokyar, but in the morning, the righteous ones will rule over them. Levelot Sheol, and this is and their rock will erase Sheol, will erase the grave, Mizabelo from being their habitation. God will save me. There's no pidyon for my money, but Hashem can be podemi, can redeem me from Sheol, even though he takes me Selah. Hold that thought. So the fools, the Kisil and the Baar, are being herded to their unthinking fate. Their kid be need movies in their last pasuk. They're like animals. But Yesharim will see the judgment in Laboker in the morning, which is another metaphor for Olam Haba. This is definitely this whole parak implies that there is potential for some kind of existence after death. This is Radak, Yesharim Laboker, meaning now, right now, in this world, Harishim Lamala, the wicked rule, but Tzidikim Lamata, and the righteous are downtrodden, Ad Yom until death. Aval Yom Adin, but in the final judgment, Yerdua Yeshurim B'Rasha'im, Yerdu, the righteous will rule over the wicked, B'Kara Yom Adin Boker, and this day of judgment is called the morning. Ki Tia Az Yeshurat Yisrael, because that's the day when Yisrael will be redeemed. Kamru, as Malachi says, Zarchalehem Yerei Shim'i, Shemesh Marpe, that for those who fear my name, the sun of justice and healing will rise for them. That's the Boker that's tied to, still to come. Spell that right. And specifically, this word Laboker, it echoes the downfall of the original Korach. Again, this is B'nai Korach. We're kind of looking back at the story of Korach. And when it says, Moshe tells Korach, Boker b'yodah Hashem et in the morning, Hashem will let it be known who is really belongs to Hashem, kadosh, and what's truly holy, be beloved, and bring them to him. And that's what the Boker is this final day of judgment. And it says, right, the Yesharim will rule Laboker in the morning, It's Yoram Levalot Sha'ol Mizavolo, and that's hard to translate. As JPS says, the meaning of the Hebrew is uncertain. But the Malbim takes this Yoram being their rock. Levalot is to erase or to root away, to wear away. And Zevel is an abode, habitation, place to live. So their rock, meaning which he takes the metaphor for the soul, will protect them from the Sheol, from the pit, from the grave. This is the Malbim. The Tzuram, the Tzuram means their rock. That is the eternal soul. Who your Abam, he will, that is what will rule over them. Levalot Sheol, to prevent the Sheol, which we've been translating as the grave. We're going to look at it in more detail. Mizavula, from being their eternal habitation. Sheol Bal Yezavul Umaon Lo. That this sur, that the nefesh, as it lives on, will keep Sheol from being there, where the Yesharim will live. Shenafsha, or will exist. Shenafsha Ruchanit, because there's this the spiritual soul, Titgaber, Al Kachot HaChomarim, will overcome the physical forces, V'yeshivim Al Yashar, Shivui V'Nitzchiyut, will bring them to what is right, what is equitable, what is eternal. Yimshol HaKoach HaEder will rule over these negative forces, Shu'a Sha'ol, which we're calling Sha'ol. A common word for the grave, HaKaruch B'Teva HaChomer, that's stuck in this in the natural material world, V'Yibar HaSecha, and so the spiritual, the intellectual can rule over Al B'nei Sha'ol V'Avdon, rule over the grave, will over being lost. We're saying that Elokim yifdeh nafshi miyad Sheol, God will save me from Sheol, rather. Ki yechecheni, even though Hashem will take me, I will die, but still, I will not go to Sheol. Because Sheol is a very common word in Tanakh. It has a very specific connotation. We see it a bunch of times. You see when Yaakov's talking about losing his sons, when he thinks that Yosef's has died, he says, his children all tried to console him, and he refused to be consoled. He said, I will go down to Sheol mourning my son. And his father mourned for him. And similarly, when he said, you can't bring Binyamin down, now you can't bring my other son with you, because his brother Yosef died. And he's the only one left. Yikra'u son, but there, some disaster will happen along the way. Ashel where you're going. Or sevati bring down my white hair in agony down to Sheol. Yaakov's very afraid of Sheol. And similarly, when Yehuda is coming to Yosef, said, you can't take Binyamin because then Yaakov's going to die. Yehuda tells him, now if I go to my father, and the child is not with us, and their souls are bound together, when he sees that the child's not here, and he will, and he, Yosef, and Yaakov will die, redo and you will cause your servant, us, and Sheol will go down in misery. To Sheol. Another use of the word in the Torah, Hashem describes anger. Fire burns nostrils, and burns down to the Sheol underneath. So Sheol is a sense of what happens after death. But it's not just a poetic synonym for death, it's a bad death, it's a punishment. Thus will die without going to Sheol. Rashi says when he's when Yaakov said it talks about going down, Avel Sheola, Kipshuto, Lashon Keber. You read it as Psha, it just means the grave. Evliya Kaver, I will be buried with my mourning, Lot Nachem, Koyamai, I will not be consoled. But Midrasho, this is Gehenna. That the term that's used in the Torah for that's used that uses Gehenna, that is. The Torah uses the term, Tanakh uses the term Sheol. Simon Zayu Masar, B'yadi, Mipnei Gevura, I had this idea. I knew from Hashem, If my children remain alive during my lifetime, I will not be sent to Gehenna. What does that mean? So what's Gehenna mean? Doesn't help us understand. Oh, it's the same thing. But it's a sense of silence, of being disconnected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Tehillim uses it. Because after death, no one remembers you. Sha'ol, no one acknowledges you. Similarly, parallel. Lamed, Hashem Elita min Sha'ol Nafshi. You have taken my soul. You've rescued my soul from the Sha'ol. You give me life. I'm going down again, bore the pit, down the depths of the earth. Same synonym there. What benefit is there in my silence? The dirt will not acknowledge you. After death, we have no connection to Hashem. And so that's what Rambam calls the ultimate punishment. That's what Gehenna is. That's what Sheol is. It's simply being dead without having this ongoing connection to Hashem. The way he puts it, the Rambam famously puts it, the final reward for the righteous, that they will achieve this pleasant state of Olam Haba, b'tova, and they will be in this goodness, that this permanent state of connection to Hashem. Rishaim, and the punishment for the wicked, that they will not live in this Olam Haba, el yichratu, they'll be cut off, they'll be dead. That death is fine. There's no existence in hell or anything like that. The Rambam's view and this idea of Sheol is something that's the end of, at the end of life, back to the dirt, nothing. Anyone who doesn't achieve this, Olam Haba, is dead forever. Sheol was cut off in his even in his evil, va'avad, and he's lost. As we said before, the Kasil was Avad, the Chetzedik is Met, Vavak Behema, exactly from our parrot there. They're lost like animals. There's nothing there. What Karet to our Torah, and this is what Karet is. It says, the Torah when it says, the soul be cut off. And so the Prophet, we learned that Karet, what happens in this world, is to be cut off from Olam Haba. Meaning that the soul, when the body dies, will not merit getting Olam Haba. It will be cut off from Olam Haba as well. So that's Avdon. Initially, it's explicitly being lost. That's what it means when initially it says explicitly, Avdon Hashem was aware of the Sha'ol and Abdonah being lost. Similarly, when Hashem talks about Havadati, or losing a soul, Fisher Omar Karet, Omakom, we have this concept of Karet, any of the Amahu, Shomer Havadati, when Hashem says Havadati, I will cause to be lost, Lamadala Karet, Sheino Ella Abdon. Karet, talk about as being a punishment, that's synonymous with Gehenna, that's Abdon being lost. Literally, the Kohelet style nihilist, after death, there is nothing. So we said before, the Kesil Be'er, their deaths are ayavodim. They are lost. The Chacham is Yamut, who dies, but still goes on. It still has, will avoid the Sha'ol. But wealth isn't going to be enough. It's through serving Hashem, through being one of the Yesharim. So Malcolm IV has always said that he who dies with the most toys wins, but that's not how it goes. So, Bnei Korach, the parak continues on and summarizes in the last psukim, Al tira ki yesharish. Don't be afraid when you see others getting rich. Yirbeh kavod beito, when his house has higher status than yours. Ki lov moto yikachakol, because he won't take any of it when he dies. Lo yired acharav kavodo, and those who follow will not get his status. Even though he may be blessing himself, he'd be praising himself, boasting throughout his life. You should know that it'll be better for you. You should go and look at this Ishu, who's Ashir and is rich. Look at his ancestors. So David said, "Hashatavol haskil." When you understand it, af ad gumul dor avotam. See what happens to these ancestors. Hashagam came. Haita kol chamadotam lasapon. With those before him who were trying to accumulate wealth. And you'll see what happens. Az tavin shanetzach lo or you'll understand that ad netzach lo yiru or that those avotav do not see light forever. They do not see or olam haba. So if you understand that it's not about the money. And so it concludes with echoing Pasuk Yud-Gimel. Pasuk Yud-Gimel, we said, was Adam Bi'ikar Lo Yalin. Man does not rest with his wealth. But the final Pasuk here is Adam Bi'ikar V'lo Yavin. Changes it. Human beings have wealth, but they don't understand it. They don't understand what money is all about. They don't understand what true wealth is. And then Nimshal Kabe Motet Nidmu, and they're like dumb animals. But really, that you have, human beings have true wealth, but it's not money. Riches are a tool, not an end. And so that's the final lesson in this whole series of Tehillim with B'nai Korach. Know what's important in life. But if you don't, it all goes to waste. And we'll stop here.